We're doing the Sfat Tamim. We're up to the fifth chapter, page Yud Ches. The Chafetz Chaim had discussed the importance of telling the truth. The Chafetz Chaim had discussed the ills of stealing, what's waiting for a person if he stole and did things dishonestly. And now he continues to explain what's really going on now that the Jews are in exile. Everything we discussed until now was really a warning to people who have not formed the habit of sinning in this way, of lying and cheating and stealing. So everything we discussed was to help a person, to give him an easy cure if he's a little bit inaccurate in the way he speaks, but not that it's become a habit. But if someone has made a habit of lying, chas v'shalom, if a person has made a habit of stealing, and may the merciful one protect us from such a habit, so then a person finds it very difficult to stop the habit of lying, cheating, stealing. So then how does he cure himself? He has to do some introspection. How did he get to such an illness? How did he contract such a difficult illness? Now when it comes to the sin of thievery, that some people find it as though it's for free. You know, a taxi driver, a non-Jewish taxi driver, once told me, if a woman leaves a person my taxi, then it's a gift from heaven. No concept of returning a lost object. By the way, I think it's fair to tell you that it was an Arab taxi driver, and I heard it more than once, that this is the Arab mentality. If someone forgot something in your taxi, that's a gift from heaven. If you found something someone lost, that's a gift from heaven. What I understood more than once from Arabs I spoke to, it's that they don't have this concept of a shavas aveda, returning a lost object. You lost it. You know, as kids we used to say, finders keepers, losers weepers, right? What? Yeah. So, the Chafetz Chaim says, this is a sin of thievery. And some people think it's for free, you know, nothing wrong with it. Yesh kama sibot. So there are a few reasons why this happens. We will discuss two that are obvious to everyone. Number one, ribui otzot. People have many expenses. It blows my mind when I see people who can't afford lunch, but they're holding an iPhone. What's going on here? So people take on huge expenses. It was true in Chafetz Chaim's time. It's true today.
Why do you think you can't afford
lunch? And superfluous clothing that have become a constant among our multitude of sins. That people have clothing that are completely unnecessary. You know, the Chafetz Chaim didn't own a felt hat like everyone walks around with. The Chafetz Chaim wore a simple casket, like one of the working men, like the golf. You know, people play golf. That simple hat. That's what Chafetz Chaim wore. He lived in a simple wood house, simple. So the Chafetz Chaim says these added expenses and superfluous garments that have become a constant. And this has brought upon us all our troubles from within and from without. When a person initially starts the habit, he doesn't think where it's leading him. Where is he headed with this habit? When Rabbi Feinstein came to the bungalow colony, so they offered him to install air conditioning in his bungalow. So he said, no thanks. So they said, Rabbi, but you'll be sitting and learning and you'll have a beautiful breeze. Won't it help you? So Rabbi Feinstein said, you know,
I never felt I was missing an air conditioner. I'm able to learn in the heat and it doesn't bother me. If you install an air conditioner, then it will bother me. And then when I won't have air conditioning, I won't be able to learn. So I'd rather you not install it.
ובתחילה כשמרגיל אדם את עצמו בזה אינו מתבונן לחיתו והיצרה מתנהג עם האדם בזה כצייד המשליך מזון ונצודה לעיני כל בעל כנף.
And the Yetzer Hara, our inclination, treats us like a hunter who throws food on the net, and all the birds see the free food on the net. Now this isn't the Chafetz Chaim's allegory. This is one of the first Mishalim in Mishle. Ki chinam mizora harashet leinei kol bal kanaf. That's an allegory in Mishle, that when people steal, they're really like the bird who's taking food off the net. The bird thinks it's for free. And the bird doesn't know, v'hem nedamam yerovu. The bird doesn't know that the hunter is waiting there and he's going to pay for that little seed with its life. That's the allegory of Mishle. And the Chafetz Chaim borrows that allegory. He says, Hashem rov ritzona achar achila u'mimiyut da'ata. The bird, at the end of the day, has a bird brain, and it really wants that seed, that kernel that's there in the net. So the bird doesn't look around and notice, hey, there's a net there. And then when the bird enters the net, once it's entered the net, it's caught, and now it's ready for slaughter. That's the way it works here. Initially, when God gives a person money, it's part of God's kindness. God gives him the money so he could live with that money. And he also has debts that he owes his creator. What are his debts? He has to give some money to tzedakah. He has to do some kindness. He has to support Torah institutions. All kinds of debts. A person lives in this world. He has certain responsibilities. So God gives a person money. What does a person think? Great, I could go out and buy a candy bar. Hold your horses, 1 second. Do you have a machzor for Rosh Hashanah? Do you have the clothing you need for Rosh Hashanah? Do you have food for Yom Kippur? Do you have a sukkah, a lulav, an esrog? You have so many mitzvahs. God gave you the money. Who said he gave you the money? To go and buy an iPhone or to go and buy a snake? Maybe he gave you the money to go and buy the mitzvahs you have to acquire. Hayetzer hara misito. So what does the Yetzer Hara do to a person when he has some money? So the Yetzer Hara tells a person, you got $50,000 in the bank. You shouldn't be walking around in such a simple suit. A guy like you, you shouldn't be driving such a simple car. And then a person starts buying things that are beyond their means. A person has money. But when a person has money, so then his desire is to behave like he has more money than he really has. And one of the great culprits is the credit card, where you can buy things even though you don't have the money in the bank. Hapachut kamchubat. Someone who's poor dresses like a noble. Vamchubat kechan meshreham. And one of the nobles, he dresses like a millionaire. Kedei sheitreh lechashuv umchubat enei chaverav. Because a person wants his friends to look at him and say, wow, look at him. V'adam olech achar atzato. And what happens is a person listens to his Yetzer Hara, margil et atzmo b'zeh, and then it becomes a habit. Ad shebehemshech hazman hu nasa muchach l'zeh. Till it reaches a point where a person feels like he must have it. Leitnehek k'derech ha'gvohim. He has to behave like all the big shots. V'achar kach im nizdamen lo shana o shnatayim sheino mistakir lefi erchotza. And then if he hits turbulent times, a year or two, where he's not making that kind of money, asher gil tatzmo b'zeh, that he's already in that habit. Matza lo yetzer makom latot oto olfat oto l'gzov l'chmos. So then the Yetzer misguides a person and seduces him to steal and take things by force, and to take loans like the wicked without paying back, so that he could maintain the initial behavior. He shouldn't be shamed in front of his friends. It took me years till I was able to tell people I can't afford that.
People sometimes tell you, why don't you get this, or why don't you do this, or why don't you come with us to this trip? So I'd look for excuses. I was uncomfortable saying I can't afford that. It took me years to be able to say, I can't afford that. People sometimes say, we're taking our kids, why don't you come with us to the zoo? Yeah, that's 80 shekel per kid. You're talking about almost, you're talking over 500 shekel for taking a family. Okay, on one trip, one afternoon. People are embarrassed to say, I can't afford that. There's nothing to be embarrassed about. I can't afford it. Come on, no. I don't have to be embarrassed about it. But I'm telling you, it took me years to be able to say that. What happens is that pressure to maintain that level pushes a person over the brink. He really becomes a thief. He takes things by force. And he reaches a point where his friend's life and his friend's benefit carries no weight in his eyes. And the Chafetz Chaim over here answered a question I've had. Just yesterday, I saw a guy sitting and trying to convince a young person to invest with him. And I could see from the conversation, I only heard snippets from the conversation, that if the young guy would only take counsel with someone older, he wouldn't give this guy a penny. It was so glaringly obvious that the guy was a charlatan. But I always wondered, these swindlers who take people's money, who do these Ponzi schemes, and where's their conscience? How can you talk to a person day after day and convince them to do something which is going to hurt themselves? And the Chafetz Chaim just answered that question. So we'll pick up here, B'ezrat Hashem, next week.